Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau from Compassionate Cooks. I founded Compassionate Cooks to empower people to make informed food choices and to debunk myths about vegetarianism and animal rights. I do this through cooking classes, an online cookbook, lectures and workshops, articles and essays, this podcast, and a cooking DVD. My first cookbook, whose working title is The Joy of Baking, is scheduled for a fall 2007 release, so I encourage you to sign up for our newsletter if you want to be kept informed about our various activities. You can subscribe to the newsletter, as well as learn more about who we are and what we do by visiting our website, CompassionateCooks.com. Once again, in this past week, I've received some amazing emails from many of you. It means so much to me that you take the time to write to me, to tell me what these podcasts mean to you. I have to set up one of those phone lines that other fancy schmancy podcasters have so you can hear for yourself what kind of response I'm getting. Anyway, I so appreciate your emails and your support. I don't know if you know this, but each episode takes hours to do, hours to write and edit, record and edit, and prepare for uploading. So if you like what you hear, I would greatly appreciate your support. You can visit our website, CompassionateCooks.com, and click on the button at the bottom of the homepage that says Support Podcasts. This helps with the inherent production costs and enables me to keep doing them. You can contribute any amount you like, and I've added some benefits to thank you for your sponsorship. You can even sponsor a podcast on behalf of another organization if you're an individual, and I'll read a blurb about them to let everybody know about the great work they do. Anyway, every bit helps, so thank you for what you can do. The sponsor of today's podcast did not want recognition, but I will say that it was her email that inspired today's topic, so you know who you are. After hearing the podcast about chicken's eggs that we did, she decided she couldn't eat them anymore. So she wrote to tell me that and to ask me if I could offer suggestions about ways to replace eggs in cooking and baking. Hers is not the first request I've had for this, so I thought it was time to address it. If you'd like to drop me a line suggesting topics for future shows, you can do so at podcast@compassionatecooks.com. So, eggs. And just so you know, I'm not talking about ostrich eggs or hummingbird eggs or pterodactyl eggs. Let's be clear right up front. When I say eggs, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know I'm talking about chicken's eggs. It's kind of funny when you think about it. We've all grown so accustomed to eating certain things that we don't even question the fact that we're eating such things as the products of a bird's menstrual cycle. I mean, as we discussed in some earlier podcast about chicken's eggs, they exist for the purpose of being fertilized so that an embryo would grow into an offspring capable of living outside the egg. Just as a uterus in a human exists for the sole purpose of providing nutrients and safety to the embryo until the offspring is capable of living outside the womb. It's the same thing. In both cases, the unfertilized egg just becomes waste outside the body, and then the reproductive cycle starts all over again. So unfertilized eggs, which we eat with abandon, are just the waste products of a reproductive cycle. Sorry if you're eating eggs right now, but the eggs of chickens are not really marketed this way. They've been touted as I don't know, what's the latest marketing slogan these days? Nature's perfect food? Something like that? Sure, it's nature's perfect food. It's nature's perfect food for the embryo. So when we look at animal flesh and secretions for what they are, it's not quite as appetizing to consume the muscle tissue of an animal's leg, or the lactation fluid of a pregnant mammal, or the remnants of a chicken's menstrual cycle. But eat and drink them we do. In fact, the average American consumes about 250 eggs a year. We're drinking hundreds of gallons of cow's milk. I'm always amazed when I go to the grocery store and I see people carrying over gallons of cow's milk to the checkout. I'm waiting for them to moo any second. Anyway, but now we're supposed to be drinking goat's milk and sheep's milk, not cow's milk. And during a 75-year lifespan, the average American eats 2,485 chickens, 78 turkeys and ducks, 33 pigs, and 11 cows and sheep. This is one person will eat this many animals in their lifetime. And that's if you live to 75. Which you're lucky if you're eating all that stuff, but people are living a lot longer these days thanks to all of the interventions like drugs and surgeries. So that's a good thing, I guess. So for those of you who want to know how to cook and bake without eggs, I am happy to tell you what you can do. Probably the most common way people eat chicken's eggs is scrambled. And since it's the texture we really crave, this is an easy dish to replace with something like tofu. Scrambled tofu that you saute with or without onions and peppers works best if you use firm tofu. And I like to use a combination of firm and extra firm tofu. You can add such spices as cumin and turmeric, salt and pepper, and you've got a great scramble that can be considered the basis of other related dishes like a breakfast burrito, a sandwich, like, you know, an eggless scrambled egg sandwich, a tofu benedict, tofu Florentine. And before you add the tofu, you can also saute some mushrooms, you know, any vegetable you want. Squash is really great, summer squash. And once the tofu is added and almost entirely cooked, depending on what you have in there, you could also add pesto or salsa or fresh tomatoes. The options are endless, depending on the flavor and the kind of cuisine that you want. And recipes, by the way, for breakfast and brunch and for tofu and tempeh are at compassionatecooks.com. And I've made it such that you can essentially build your own cookbook by purchasing the recipes you want. They come in packages of five. That way you're only getting what you want. And I guarantee you these recipes have been tried and tried again and again many times. So they're really fantastic recipes. Another way people eat chicken's eggs is an egg salad. And again, tofu really provides that texture. And my recipe for eggless egg salad is delicious and very simple, but basically it entails the same ingredients you would use to make a chicken's egg salad, though you'll want to get eggless mayonnaise. There are eggless mayonnaise in many grocery stores these days. I've seen eggless mayonnaise beyond the Neonaise, Veginaise, and Wildwood's Garlic Aioli. Those are three wonderful eggless mayonnaise, but I've also seen other brands just doing this, and I think a lot of it has to do with food safety. And turmeric is, again, a wonderful spice that you can use. It adds a subtle flavor and a beautiful color. The tofu will turn it completely yellow, and incidentally, it looks a lot like what egg salad looks like. And again, because of that, it satisfies that part of us that wants something familiar when we eat. So if it looks and tastes and fills us up just like what we're accustomed to, then that's pretty much all we need when we're transitioning away from old habits and into new ones. We don't really have many excuses left if it's pretty much satisfying us on all counts. As far as hard-boiled, soft-boiled, deviled eggs, remember those, and meringue, well, all I can say is I can live without these little novelties. That's what they are. And personally, the freedom and the life of a living, feeling animal is worth much more to me than any desire I may have for a boiled egg. And for the record, I have absolutely no desire for a boiled egg, okay? But these are things that I haven't really been able to replicate, and why would you? I don't really need to. So however much we want to believe it in our adorable anthropocentric way, hens don't produce eggs because they figured out they were good binding ingredients for baked goods for humans. I mean, people are absolutely incredulous that you can actually bake without using chickens' eggs. And of course, they're skeptical. I understand why. Eggs in baked goods have a very long history, and each and every one of us was taught that eggs are indispensable when baking. So as you begin to liberate yourself from chicken's eggs, and what a mighty crutch this has been, you learn the many ways in which baking without eggs is not simply an alternative, in my opinion, to conventional baking, but it's actually a superior way to bake. So, for instance, despite the government subsidies making chickens' eggs artificially cheap, making the torture of hens even more deplorable, it's less expensive to cook without eggs. It's more convenient since you don't have to worry about those things going rotten, and because many of the techniques for eggless baking require ingredients that have a very long shelf life. It's healthier. Eggs are packed with cholesterol and saturated fat, and you have a reduced risk of contracting a foodborne illness. Remember that foodborne illnesses do not come from plants. They come from animals. And there's no environmental destruction caused by the tons of manure that is produced because we're raising millions of birds just for her eggs. And of course, at the top of my list is the animals, but you have to go back and listen to the other podcast to hear why. Baking without eggs has been done for centuries, whether it's for religious reasons, health reasons, or ethical reasons. And during the world wars of the 20th century, when the luxury foods, i.e. the animal products, were scarce, people perfected the art of eggless baking. Chickens' eggs perform various functions in baked goods, from binding to leavening to adding moisture, and all of which can be replicated equally well, if not better, with healthful plant-based ingredients. Now, I can't give away all my secrets, or you'll never buy my cookbook, But I'll give you most, and frankly, all this information is readily available if you just do a search for vegan baking or replacing eggs in desserts or something like that. And like I said earlier, in many ways, it's like you're learning baking for the first time. So just throw out your current notions about what works when you're baking. Become a child again, open to learning, open to making mistakes, and you will make some mistakes. Some of these techniques work better in some cases than others. So, well, let's get started. Let me explain. Actually, let's get started by you getting a pen, because I'm not going to repeat myself. And if you miss anything, then you're going to have to wait for my cookbook to come out next year, next fall. So don't miss anything, but buy the book anyway. Okay. Okay. So let's start with ground flax seeds. Flax, grown for both seed and for fiber, it's been used to produce linen for thousands of years. Flax seeds are the most concentrated source of essential omega-3 fatty acids in our diet. So these should be a staple in your diet, even if you're not using them for baking. I recommend always buying whole flax seeds, golden or brown, they're both the same, and grinding them yourself. Just get a coffee grinder and just grind them up. Put them in a glass container, store them in the refrigerator or the freezer, and just take 2 to 3 tablespoons a day. You can either add them to a fruit smoothie, oatmeal, soup, salad, or you can just eat them on their own. But they're really versatile. Obviously, you've heard of flax oil. You can do the same thing, but it's less versatile, and it doesn't taste as good. So to create your egg, you whisk 1 tablespoon. Okay, are you writing this down? 1 tablespoon of ground flax seeds with 3 tablespoons of water in a blender or a food processor until the mixture becomes very thick and gooey, very gelatinous. When do I use flax eggs? Because flax seeds have a nutty flavor, they work best in baked goods that are grainier and nuttier, such as waffles or pancakes or bran muffins or oat muffins, breads, oatmeal cookies, right? You get the idea. They're very grainy, so that really goes very well with that flavor and that texture. You can find flax seeds in the bulk section of your health food store. Ask your local grocer if they don't already carry it. And obviously, I recommend organic. And though, you know, it might be more convenient to just get the flax meal or ground flax seeds in your grocery store, I have a couple things to say about that. One is, if you don't find this in the refrigerated section, don't buy them at all, because once they're ground, they need to be refrigerated to stay fresh. Okay. So if you're not finding them in the refrigerated section once they're ground, don't get them. The second thing is, flax meal is a little different because it's ground even finer. So you may be missing out on some of the omega-3 fatty acids, and your body might not be really absorbing them as well, or you might not be getting as much if you just get flax meal. So I know it seems like an extra step, but just get a coffee grinder. It costs $20. I only bought a coffee grinder for this purpose. I never had a cup of coffee in my life. So I have this solely for the purpose of grinding my flax seeds, and it works really great. Okay. Banana. A ripe banana, about a half a banana, kind of a small size banana, is equal to 1 egg. And bananas are fantastic for obviously creating the binding in a baked good. They work particularly well in breads or muffins, cakes, and pancakes. I don't use bananas, however, when I don't want the banana flavor, because it does stand out. So do consider this factor when deciding when to use them. And as far as bananas also, I do advocate people shopping locally and seasonally as much as possible. But unless you live in the tropics, it's kind of hard to follow this rule when it comes to buying bananas. But do look for those that are labeled fair trade. I'm seeing more and more fair trade bananas available. They're certified by Transfair, and it obviously ensures a fair price directly to the grower for this commodity, for this food, whether it's coffee or tea or bananas, chocolate. So do look for fair trade. Applesauce, and I recommend organic. Apples are very highly sprayed. 1/4 cup of unsweetened applesauce would equal 1 egg in baking. Get unsweetened. It creates, again, the binding. It creates moisture that you need in baked goods, and it works particularly well when you want it to be moist, when you're looking for that moisture, such as cakes, quick breads, and brownies. Where do you buy them? Go to your local farmer's market. obviously buy seasonally if you can. I highly recommend it. And apples, by the way, have a very, very long shelf life. If you keep them in a cold garage, you can have them for months and months and months. So buy them locally, buy them seasonally, and keep them for a long time in your apple cellar, because I'm sure you have one, right? Keep them in your garage. Just keep them in a cold place. So silken tofu is another egg replacer. Silken tofu, it's often used to make puddings and mousses, pie fillings, and it's that soft and silky tofu. You'd see it sold in those aseptic boxes or those vacuum-packed boxes, which means you'll find them on the shelves of the grocery store as opposed to the refrigerated section, and you can keep them unrefrigerated for months until they're opened. Silken tofu comes in soft, firm, and extra firm varieties. It may seem confusing, but they're all pretty much the same. Mori Nu is a popular, easy to find brand. Mori-Nu. Mori Nu is a popular brand, but like I said, silken tofu comes in soft, firm, and extra firm varieties. Just get like a firm silken tofu, you're fine. Whip about a quarter cup in a blender or food processor until it's really smooth and really creamy and there's no chunks. You may need to turn off the food processor and scrape down the sides in order to do that. And I find this works particularly well when you want a rich, dense, moist cake. But it also works really well when you want lighter cakes. There's plenty of recipes that I use the silken tofu for, and they're actually a little lighter cakes. But you will get a very, you'll get a cakier cake, if you know what I mean. It's not going to be light and fluffy. It's going to be a little more moist. So that's what you're going to get when you use silken tofu, I find. And obviously, this is found in many grocery stores. And then finally, a commercial product that's available as an egg replacer is called Energy Egg Replacer. The brand is spelled, are you writing this down? Energy, E-N-E-R-G, Energy Egg Replacer. Now, you, the box looks like it hasn't been changed since 1974. The design is really dated, but it's a fabulous product, so just ignore the box. And actually, what I do when I come home is I take it out of the box and I put it in one of my mason jars. That's where I store everything. And it's great. It lasts for a long time. It's really economical. One box makes the equivalent of 112 eggs. Okay. Now, obviously you wouldn't use this to make scramble, but it's great for baked goods. It's convenient. Like I said, it sits on the shelf for a really long time. And I use this more than I use any other egg replacer. It just works really well. It doesn't have nutritional value per se, like the applesauce or bananas do. But by the time I'm making chocolate cookies, I'm not looking for nutrition. Okay. I'm just looking for chocolate chip cookies. So, how much to use? Follow the instructions on the box, but basically it's a half a teaspoon of the egg replacer powder. With, it's 1.5 teaspoons of the egg replacer powder with 2 tablespoons of water. And you whip that up until it becomes light and frothy. I think a food processor and a blender work really well again, or you can do it by hand. And that's 1 egg. So it's on the box. If you get the box, it's on there. Let's see. So I think as far as the egg replacer goes, I use this mostly in cookies. I tend to use either no egg replacer at all when I'm making cakes or muffins, because the reaction between the vinegar, actually that's another thing to say too, I didn't write this down, but another thing to do is to, you can use vinegar, apple cider vinegar or white distilled vinegar, and the reaction that takes place between the baking soda and the vinegar is such that it creates that egg-like effect. It creates a leavener in the baked goods. So you can also use vinegar. So basically that's what I do with my cakes and muffins. I don't really even use any of these things, but cookies, I do tend to use an egg replacer for it. And I wouldn't use silken tofu, or I wouldn't use banana or applesauce, because the cookie would become more cake-like. Does that make sense? Because it's moist. But the egg replacer, the energy egg replacer, or the flax seeds, making the flax egg, work really well for cookies. And you can find the egg replacer in large grocery stores, you know, health-oriented grocery stores, and definitely ask your local grocer if they can get it for you. So am I missing anything? What are some other ways we eat chicken's eggs? Oh, yeah, Easter. Yeah, I find this really offensive, Easter. I find just Easter egg hunts really hypocritical. We're, like, celebrating life and rebirth. And we're buying eggs from tortured hens whose lives are created by us and then ended by us just for a ritual that's ultimately vacuous, because it's defeating the very principle we say that's behind it. So it's kind of a problem. Didn't always think this way. Grew up hiding my Easter eggs, you know, and then you don't find some and then they just rot, which makes it even worse. But there are plenty of other ways to celebrate spring, other ways to celebrate the idea of life and rebirth. And I don't think that would be in the eggs of tortured hens. I'll end by answering a question I'm anticipating some of you having at this point. Some people ask me how I feel about people who eat the eggs of chickens who live at sanctuaries or with people who will care for the hens for the rest of their lives and will never kill them. To tell you the truth, I don't have any ethical objection to eating their eggs in this kind of situation. It's not like with cow's milk, the production of which would not exist without impregnating the female, resulting in an unwanted calf. She's made pregnant only so that she will lactate. With hens, it's different. She's simply dropping an egg as part of her reproductive cycle, and it happens quite naturally. So as long as the hens are not kept by people for the sole purpose of wanting her for her reproductive output, because what happens to her when her production drops, right? I mean, it implies that her worth and value exists only insofar as she's able to provide people with eggs. So that's where I have a problem with it. Personally, I wouldn't want to consume eggs at this stage, even if I had some chickens. And I do plan someday of having some hens here from a sanctuary, adopting them from a sanctuary. But I wouldn't want to consume her eggs, not only for health reasons, because I think they're kind of gross. Honestly, I stopped eating chickens' eggs even before I officially became vegan. But I just don't remember how to bake with them now. I've relearned how to bake. And so my default is now eggless baking, and I see no reason to go backwards. So I think that's everything. I'm sure I'm missing something. So feel free to drop me a line and tell me if I am. You can email me at podcast@compassionatecooks.com. And thank you in advance for whatever support you can provide. On behalf of the 290 million hens being used and abused in the U.S. for their eggs, this is Colleen with Compassionate Cooks. Thanks for listening.